Malachi has just finished his first year of Bible college, and he has learned how to do messages in Bible college. So this is a little bit of on-the-job training here. Intern messaging this morning. So it's my pleasure to have Malachi Teshuvah do the message this morning for us.
Test. It's working. Bear with me for a little bit. Don't have any bookmarks. All right. This sermon, I call it Fire and Light, which is, you know, very, it fits in with what we were singing a couple songs ago, the Keith Green song, and that's totally by chance, and I'm really happy about that. Anyway, so I'm going to read from John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Life was in him. And that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. I'm also going to read Luke 12:49, which says, I came to bring fire on the earth.
That's up really high.
Is that better? I don't know. I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you have given us this life, this true light that you've planted in our midst, God. I thank you for that, and I just pray that these words wouldn't be my own. People wouldn't see me, but they'd see you and your light shining through. And God, I just thank you for all the amazing things that you've done in my life to bring me up to this. I thank you for this congregation that has just been a family to me and such an encouragement, God. And in your name, amen. All right. So recently, the Lord has really just been impressing on my heart this image of his light and his fire and what these things mean for us and just how crucial they are for life and godliness. And also, these subjects have like always interested me since I was a child. I was talking with my mom earlier, before I was born. My mom went for an ultrasound one day, and she's sitting there, and the other kids are being crazy. Tirza was turning off the ultrasound machine as they were trying to do it. Kezi was crawling on the ground and biting mom's toe. So dad, he like took the kids out, and so it was a really dim room. There was like one lamp on, and they like did the ultrasound, and dad was outside the room. They took the scans and were like talking about whatever, the results and stuff. And then they came to my mom and said, there's something wrong with this child. There's, you know, he has like something wrong with him. You should just abort him. And my mom was, you know, not gonna do that. But she was just like, okay, if this is what you have for us, Lord, then, you know, we believe that you will provide everything that we need to take care of this child. But if not, I just pray that you would just heal him right now. And so later, they get another expert dude to come in and look at the ultrasound. And this person turns on all the lights in the room. So there was just one lamp, but now there's all the lights on the room. And apparently I was like just looking at the one lamp. And then when they turned on, I was like this. And so they did the ultrasound, and they saw like a really thick neck for some reason, because I was looking up. And so they thought I had like all sorts of diseases and stuff, or I don't know. But it was just because I was looking up at that lamp. And so my parents' pastor at the time said, Pastor Mark, I always picture like this little action figure that I have that flings his hands up in the air. Whenever I think, I've never met the guy, so. Yeah, so he said, how like the world to think when we're looking at the light that there's something wrong with us. And so it was just because I was looking at that light that they thought, you know, I wasn't good enough. I was deformed. And so I've always kind of been obsessed with light and fire, definitely. I'm like a pyro. a safe pyro. I don't, you know, burn down houses or, you know, anything like that. But I just remember like sitting with, we had this glass prism. This was like years ago, and I just like bring that up to every light source I possibly could. And I just thought it was so amazing that all these colors could come from like just the light in the air already, and that they're in there, and you just need to like look a little harder to find them. And so, light. we all know what light is. It's very important, right? Yeah. It allows us to see, and it allows us to, you know, produce like process color. It dispels darkness and it reveals things. So the definition of light, it has a whole ton of definitions. It's like a noun, a verb, an adjective, but as a noun, it's the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. And also, it's the understanding of a problem or mystery or enlightenment. So where does light come from? You know, I've always, you know, been interested in it, but it's just like, yeah, where does it come from? And we know it comes from like the sun or a light, you know, like a bulb or a fire. But ultimately, light comes from God. He's the true source of light, and he's the true source of all things created. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Yep, that's where light comes from. So it was simple as God speaking those four words, yet light is the most dynamic force object thing in the whole universe. It's like light was made first because it's the most important thing. Without light, we wouldn't be able to see anything, first of all, and we wouldn't be able to know what this reality that God created is. We wouldn't be able to know what reality is without light. If for some reason this universe was without light, we would have no certainty of what actually was certain. We'd have no way of knowing what all the light would reveal. See, light reveals reality, or if you want to say truth. Light shows truth. But it reveals other things as well. It reveals lies. It reveals, you know, just everything, whether we wanted to reveal it or not. It just, turn on a light in the room, you can see everything in the room. So this is a problem for us because we have sin. And if God is light, he exposes our sin. And so it makes sense for the world to think that we're crazy for looking at the light, because to them, it's just exposing their sin. It's just telling them that they're sinners. Why would we read from, you know, this law, this book, if it just tells us that we have darkness inside of us? But we have to understand, like, not only there's light, yes, and it shines and it exposes our darkness, but he can give us his light and put it inside of us, and it dispels our darkness. So, let's read from Psalm 36, verse 9, which is a pretty cool verse. And it says, "For with you is life's fountain. In your light, we will see light." See, light is like, physically, it's like what makes the universe have life. You know, like the sun, and it shines on the plants, and the plants bring us food, and there's just everything. We get like, steam rises from the ocean because of the sun, because of its light and its radiation, and it gives us water. And so without light, there'd be nothing, pretty much. So that's why God had to make that first. All right, so it's the source of life, and it reveals what life truly is. But the ultimate purpose of light is to reveal one thing, and that's the glory of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Which says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, not only does light shine and illuminate things, but it also separates. It separates, you know, what is illuminated from what is shaded. It separates the light from the darkness. Just as after God created the light in Genesis chapter 1, God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So, it parts light from the darkness. Light is basically in all of God's creation. Darkness is simply the absence of this creation. Darkness is by its very nature a thing void of God's hand. There is darkness in us, and the light of the law, or his word, and, you know, Jesus, the law made flesh, reveals this darkness in us, and it's uncomfortable, and it can hurt. You know, when we read that, you know, all these things that, you know, are in us, that things that we do is really darkness, it can hurt. And as they say, the truth hurts. But what's worse than the truth hurting is, you know, lies in darkness kill. A lie is a sin, a thing in its very nature in opposition to God, and God is the source of life. And so the absence of life is death, and therefore lies or sin, any type of sin, equals death. The truth of the light may hurt. It may make you want to, like, run away and, like, cower in the corner from, you know, its brilliance. But, however, without that light, you would never really know how, you know, broken that we truly are. And we'd never know of our need for a Savior. That's why it's so important that we have this Torah, that we have all these laws, we have this light from God. Otherwise, we'd think we were okay, but without Yeshua, the light of the world, shining in our hearts, we would be full of darkness, and we would be full of death and sin and hell instead of the life that comes from God. So this light reveals, and it like shines and illuminates, and it separates the light from the darkness, but it cannot remove the things that are casting the shadows in our hearts. It shows us where our sin is, the Torah does. But it didn't have a way to fully atone for that. And so Yeshua came as a man and became the sin for us. He took all of that upon himself, and his light separated it as far as the east is from the west. And so not only that, but he gave us a way that we can have his light inside of us. So, you know, light from the outside, if I have something in the way, light from the outside, you know, it can't get to my heart, you know? If I have all these blockages of sin and shame and pride and everything like this, the light can't get in and hit my heart. So he gave us a fire on the inside that you know, the Holy Spirit that burns within us. So let's read Jeremiah 23:29. This is one of my favorite verses. And that says, "Is not my word like fire?" This is the Lord's declaration. "And like a hammer that pulverizes rock." See, we have all these, these idols, you could say, of wood and rock and gold and all that. We have them blocking the light from getting into our hearts. And see, God's word, it's like a fire that burns away those idols of wood, and it's like a hammer that smashes those idols of stone. He can like totally take care of it if we'll let him. And in order to let him, we have to, you know, first let him in on the inside, and he has to get all this out from the inside out. All right, let's read Hebrews 12:29. Sorry. Hebrews 12:29, which says, "Our God is a consuming fire." Let's read a little before that. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us hold on to grace. By it we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and awe." You know, the Lord didn't have to die for us. He didn't have to give us his Torah. He didn't have to give us light, but he gave us all that in grace. And he gave us his Holy Spirit on top of that, that we can have the light within us, not just shining from the outside, but like a fire, like burning inside of us that takes away all the slag, all the stuff that is death for us, all the sin and hell inside of us, because sin and hell is things in opposition of God and things without God. So what if we could have that like light, not just on the outside, not just covering us, but like inside? And that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. It's like, fire from the inside out. Like a fire has light out here, but once it gets in here, then it can really start doing some damage in a good way. So Jesus is the light of the world and the law made flesh. And he not only gave us his life, but by his death and resurrection, but also he sent his Holy Spirit as a refining fire within us that will guide us into all truth. And as we submit and walk in the Spirit, it's like we're sitting in a furnace. And as we sit in there longer, it like heats up. And if you ever, like iron ore or something, melt that down, and it's like the fire separates it. It separates out all the slag and the gross stuff, all the rock and stuff you don't want, and it melts it down, and it separates it, and it brings all the bad stuff to the surface, and the good stuff's deep within. And so that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. The more we submit to it, the more we, you know, give into the process of this fire. It might hurt, but it's really what's setting us free. It's like we might notice all these things that we haven't addressed coming to the surface. And so you have a choice here. You could either like freak out, oh no, like I'm a terrible person, blah blah blah. nobody, you know, God can never forgive me. Or you can just, you know, submit to the process that he's taking you through. And just let him scrape all that slag off the top, and he just remain in the fire and let it burn more and more away. Because if you like hold on to it, he'll let you hold on to it. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, as I've heard it said, and he doesn't like force himself upon you. He doesn't, overwhelm you. He, you know, waits for you to humble yourself and submit to him. And so the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. As we absorb more and more of this light, this the word that God has given us, it brings up things that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in here. It like burns that fire within us, and it brings the darkness to the surface, and we can just submit that to him. But we have to, you know, we can't do it in ourselves. We can't be prideful, you know, thinking that it's okay to hold on to this, or, you know, I can handle that. Just give it up. Just admit that you're wrong. And, well, I'm speaking to myself, sorry. I need to admit that I'm wrong every time the Holy Spirit brings something like that up. And not, like, hold it over myself, not get angry at God, not get angry at others for not, you know, just give it up to God. And so we can expect that if we submit to this process, all the slag and garbage will float up to the surface. Now, the light reveals the darkness. The fire draws it out. And what remains is only the finest shining silver and gold. That's what he's refining us into with his word, with his Holy Spirit, and with his grace. This process isn't automatic, and it can be heartbreaking. You know, it might break our hearts, but to admit that we're wrong, to admit that we can't do it, to admit that you know, others can't do it for us, but only God can do it. Now, if we resist this process, though, it actually breaks the Lord's heart. Let's, in Jeremiah chapter 6, I think this is the right verse. Jeremiah speaking about Israel. Jeremiah appointed as an examiner in chapter 6, verse 27. I have appointed you to be an assayer among my people, a refiner, so that you may know and assay their way of life. All are stubborn rebels, spreading slander. They are bronze and iron. All of them are corrupt. The bellows blow, blasting the lead with fire. The refining is completely in vain. The evil ones are not separated out. They are called rejected silver, for the Lord has rejected them. Now, if we go about in pride, slandering others, saying, you know, they have a whole bunch more, you know, slag, they have a whole bunch more garbage than I do, so why should I have to be refined? If we go about in this elevated view of ourselves, instead of just submitting ourselves to this refining furnace, then the Lord will honor that in a way. And if we reject that that process, he'll reject us. So it really goes along with this song that we were singing by Keith Green. It's really good songs. It says, "Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear." So it's like we have to have that holy fear, that reverence and awe of his glory. We have to, you know, like he was saying in Corinthians, realize that it's not of ourselves. But like we're earthen vessels, we're jars of clay. And he fills us, he burns away those jars of clay, so then when we go up to him, that we might have something pure and perfect. Right now, we have to acknowledge that it's not in us. We're not all that, I guess you could say. Let's see where that verse was. 2 Corinthians 4. I think it's actually 5. Oh, 4 verse 7. For we have this treasure in jar, and Jake Larson. Dyslexia. We have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So we have to just submit to this crushing, this knockdown. We won't be hurt. We won't be killed. What makes us comfortable, what makes us all safe and sound and stuff, that's what's going to kill us. Because the second that, you know, judgment comes, the second that trials come, we'll just be crushed. And, you know, there's this great verse. I'm not sure what it was. I wish I did. It says, fall on the rock and be crushed to pieces. Fall on the rock and you will be broken, lest the rock fall on you and you will be crushed to powder. So it's better to be, you know, broken over and over again, you know, of your own volition, of your own free will. And he can, like, take those pieces and fashion you into something stronger, something, you know, valuable, something worthy of the glory that he has given you. Or you could just, you know, settle for what you already have. You could think you're there already. And, you know, when the judgment comes, when that rock returns, it'll just crush you. So, if I want to leave you with anything, it's just that, you know, light may sometimes be blinding at times, but it's what brings us, like, true color and life in life. And the fire might, you know, it might seem to burn you, but it's really the only thing that's going to keep you alive. And so for me, this was really, like, hit personally, because, you know, I can be a very prideful person, just trying to be perfect in my own power, in my own strength and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously, I can never do that, and yet I still try, and I'm sure it just drives the Lord crazy sometimes when all I need to do is submit, you know? And he can, like, refine me into something valuable. And I don't have to be perfect because he already is. And I don't have to be strong. I, you know, in my weakness, he's made, yeah. So, yeah, I think we can all, you know, use more refining, I guess you could say, and Lord, let's just, you know, press forward for that outpouring of his fire, that it would be inside of us, that it wouldn't just be something that we experience now and then, but it'd be something that we live in, that we would just, because if we live in it, then that light will be everywhere in our lives. It will shine into other people's lives. But if we just turn it on and off when we want to, then it'll just get dimmer and dimmer until we don't want to turn it on anymore. So we have to just, yeah. That's it.
If we could have the worship team come up for just a minute. Let's close with a song today. And, you know, what Kai just shared with us, let's just open our hearts for the fire of the Lord to just come and do what he wants to do in our lives and in our hearts this morning. So as we sing this song, let's just open our hearts to the Lord and just say, Lord, let your fire burn away that dross and fill us with your anointing with your Spirit this morning. This is the weekend that we are celebrating. Shavuot, celebrating Pentecost, celebrating that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get a chance in a minute to pray over Kai as well before. And I know you're all grateful that he didn't take nearly as long as I usually take. So,
yeah,
good job, Kai. But let's just open our hearts to the Lord as we sing this song and just glorify and worship him. Oh,
you for your fire. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. It is such a gift for us. And Lord, I pray that we would just submit to it more and more, that you might refine us into that spotless bride. And Lord, I just thank you for this joyous occasion, God, that you have given us your comforter, that you have given us your word, that you have given us your grace, you have given us your son. Yes. And God, we are going to celebrate it. And we just praise you, God, for you are amazing. And in your name, amen.
Amen. Kai, don't go away. We're going to pray over you. Send you on your way.